Welcome to Science Questions. This is Sherry Quinn.
And I am Susie Montgomery. Recreational marijuana became legal in the state of Colorado for those 21 and older in 2014. Washington and other states are preparing to follow suit. Today on the program, we explore the effects, from a theological perspective, that marijuana policies have had on American society.
I'm Reverend Dr. Susan Brooks Thistlethwaite, and I'm professor of theology and immediate past president of Chicago Theological Seminary.
An ordained minister of the United Church of Christ since 1974, she is also the author and editor of numerous books and has worked on two different translations of the Bible. Thistlethwaite is currently working in a new area she calls public theology and on a new book on human nature and public policy. She writes a weekly column for the Washington Post called On Faith in the online section.
I grew up in the New York City area, went to college in Massachusetts. I did my MDiv and my PhD at Duke University. Taught a lot of places before I came to Chicago Theological Seminary. I'm from the East Coast, and my husband's from the East Coast. So we were in Washington, D.C., and then in Boston, and then I got recruited to CTS about 25 years ago. And my husband's a doctor. He works at the University of Chicago as a surgeon. And we've been very happy in Chicago. And I really like Chicago Theological Seminary. They have greatly encouraged me to go out on these kinds of theological limbs and really challenge some of the accepted bromides of our culture, of our religious frameworks, and it's been very productive for me.
Violence and war and violence against women are areas she has particularly done a lot of work in.
In both a macro and a micro sense, that is interpersonal violence, as well as the way in which women and children now are primary victims of war. But I think that the way in which our culture replicates violence, and rather a lot of the time than Christianity being the voice of conscience to interrupt violence and to try to mediate and find more peaceful solutions, more just solutions, you have a version of religion that is a violence accelerator. So I spend a lot of time trying to point out places where I think our cultural life is being incited to be more violent than it needs to be, and that better social policy influenced by conscience can move us in a better direction.
Reverend Thistlethwaite recently wrote an essay titled Marijuana, a Theology, published in the March 4th edition of the Huffington Post. In the article, she explains the social problem of marijuana and how marijuana policies have greatly contributed to racism and prison overcrowding. Sherry recently talked to Reverend Thistlethwaite about the article and her perspective on the U.S. policies that she says have contributed to racism and high incarceration rates.
As I said in the article, people tend to look at what you put in your, you know, body, marijuana as an example, as just an individual problem. But in truth, it's a social problem, and we want to think about the social body and what's good for the social body. And the policy on marijuana, which is the so-called war on drugs part of it, began in the Nixon administration, has been drastically racist, as well as making us among the leading nations in the world. We incarcerate more people than China. So this is a ridiculous way to run a society. Why aren't we trying to rehabilitate people? Why are we instead stuffing our prisons? And a very distressing aspect of the prison system, of course, is the privatization of prisons. You should never make a profit off of incarcerating people, because then there's an incentive to keep them incarcerated or to get them incarcerated. But, you know, we have 5% of the world's population. We have almost 25% of its prison population. And the marijuana policy is a big part of that. It's just a feeder system for the jails, and particularly a feeder system of black men into the jails. Black men are more than 6 times as likely as white men to be incarcerated for the same marijuana offense. That's a statistic from the Pew Research Center. And another really, really good resource for those of your listeners who want to go further is an ACLU report, The War on Marijuana and in Black and White. Let me say that again, The War on Marijuana in Black and White. And it's available on ACLU.org, and it is very comprehensive in documenting how much wasted time and money we have spent on this fruitless drug war that instead we could use on education and rehabilitation.
Have you looked at the incarceration rates for Hispanics?
Oh, yeah, that's, yes, that's very much a part of this report as well. And the Hispanics are gaining on the African-American population in relationship to rates of incarceration.
Men make up 90% of the prison and local jail population, and they have an imprison rate 14 times higher than the rate for women. And these men are young. Incarceration rates are highest for those in their 20s and early 30s.
Stepping back from such high rates of incarceration, I mean, people who are incarcerated end up having very poor health outcomes, for example, after that. So then the costs don't go away. They get transferred to another part of the system. So I think we've got to find a healthier way to approach this.
Marijuana arrests continue to soar, despite changing attitudes. According to the Federal Bureau of Investigation's annual Uniform Crime Report, an estimated 749,824 arrests were made nationwide for marijuana, more than 87% of which were for possession in 2013. And marijuana arrests accounted for nearly half of all drug arrests in 2012.
It's staggering, the number of marijuana arrests. Marijuana use is roughly equal among blacks and whites, and yet blacks are 3.73 times as likely to be arrested for marijuana possession.
How do you feel about medical marijuana and legalizing medical marijuana?
Oh, I think this is a very good idea. I mean, I was looking, after you asked me to be on this interview, at an article on research on marijuana for PTSD. And there's been a very long delayed study of researchers wanting to look at a treatment for veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. And the idea that, I mean, this is another use of medical marijuana beyond that for cancer and uses in that vein. But the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, which supports medical research and legalization of marijuana, has been trying for 22 years to try to develop marijuana drug research and to see if there are some uses that can be helpful to people with post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think you listeners probably know also about the idea that marijuana, in the opinion of some parents, has been helpful to children who have epilepsy. So why? Now, you know, you want to, if you're going to think about these things in a theological sense, one of the things that, why is this, is our drug policy driven by this kind of hysterical moralizing? You know, and other countries around the world look at us and they look at our prison population, they look at our attitude towards drugs and don't understand it. But I think that looking at it in the history of theology, it's very akin to the 19th century social purity movements. The temperance movement might be a terminology that people would be more familiar with. I'm actually teaching a class now that covers some of this area. And so the idea was that, you know, right, we are America's the kingdom on the hill, the new Jerusalem. We're going to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. So we have to be pure. And so legalizing alcohol was impure. So that led to prohibition. And what a disaster that was for criminality. in this country and finally was repealed. Well, we're beginning again to see some common sense coming in to our drug policy, and we are moving away from this hysterical moralizing. But it's taken a while, and it's just ruined so many lives, and it has cost so much money. And, you know, money that I want to repeat could be far better spent on treatment and education. So, you know, it's got its roots in this kind of idea that the U.S. is God's chosen people, and that comes from the kind of Puritan theologies that helped found the country in, you know, in really kind of primary cultural ways. So I think we've got to recognize that morality is more often related to common sense, and finding in a particularly religiously pluralistic society as the one we live in now, you've got to come to a kind of common sense approach. But replaying prohibition in the drug war has been disastrous financially, culturally, and I think criminally.
Some reports suggest that marijuana is a gateway drug, and new brain studies are coming out more and more these days on the effects of marijuana on the developing brain. And how do you feel about it in that sense?
I am advocating not that people use marijuana. I quote the Apostle Paul in terms of, you know, your body is a temple, and you don't want to mistreat it. I think that any stimulant, any depressant, and alcohol is now legal, and some people even think a glass of red wine a day is good for your heart. A little bit of moderation is probably okay. But I think what you want to do is try to start taking the money out of it. It does say in Scripture, money is the root of all evil. And I think that's a very wise statement, because you can't make incarceration profitable. You should not make the drug industry profitable. Now, I will say, I was just in Colorado. We have a second home in Colorado, and we were out there for spring break. And in January, Colorado, it said in the local paper, had collected $2 million in taxes on the sale of legal marijuana. So we have perhaps relocated the economic factor in marijuana. And I would think not for the highest purposes of the common good, but perhaps because states are looking for revenue, you're going to see more legalization of marijuana. That's just going to be economically driven. But I think that what we need to lobby for now is to get some of those funds. You'll never get all of those funds, but some of those funds diverted to education and treatment. Because there are some people who can't handle stimulants or who can't handle depressants. People become alcoholics. So I think that that's where we could put some social energy, and reducing the prison population as well, because these will not be criminal offenses then, will help enormously. You have generation of people who have been incarcerated at incredibly high rates amongst racial ethnic minorities, particularly, as I said, men. And this is very bad. It's very bad for families. It's very bad for children. And it just has to stop.
There are some pockets in the U.S. where economies in some rural areas have been consumed by the marijuana industry. And how can we address this issue and the issue of arresting so many people where the legal line is often blurred?
Well, we are in a period, broadly speaking, of economic disarray in the country. And you've got, you know, low-wage jobs, and you've got very high-end technical jobs. And in between, as people have routinely said, the good jobs in the middle have gone away. So these are connected to larger problems. Marijuana policy is not going to fix that. But I think that we can stop the most egregious effects of this locking people up for nonviolent marijuana use and divert those funds to education and treatment. And I think that's the way we need to go. But I think we've got miles to go. I think that the takeaway from this has been an extraordinarily racist policy. And I think the move to decriminalize and legalize marijuana is a step forward in terms of more racial justice. We're a racist society. That should be self-evident.
While the Obama administration opposes legalization of marijuana, states are edging towards decriminalizing possession of marijuana, and states like Washington and Utah are considering joining many other states in the move to legalize it for medical purposes. A new state of Utah law is now allowing parents of children with severe epilepsy to obtain a marijuana extract they say helps with seizures. Governor Gary Herbert approved the law and held a ceremony for about 50 parents and children at the state capitol on Tuesday. Sherry Quinn, Science Questions.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and the College of Science at Utah State University. Public outreach information on our Facebook page, Cache Valley Science Kids. When students and faculty learn together, discovery follows. Information at usu.edu/science.
This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1 Logan, KUSK HD1 Vernal, KUSL HD1 Richfield, KUST HD1 Moab, KCEU Price, and KUSU FM HD1 Logan.